And with that, today is our State of the Church. And we do this once a year, and usually all of the pastors get up here and talk about what's going on in the church last year and what we're looking forward to in the coming year. And today, you just have Mark and I. Rob will be tuning in through a video that we did yesterday. So
that's right. You got just Justin and I today. So, and you might wonder, I don't know if this is the first time you've encountered a State of the Church, and I think, what in the world? Never heard of such a thing. We've been doing this for many years, and a little bit same time of year is a State of the Union. We don't have half the room stand up and applaud while the other half stands and stoically.
You can if you'd like.
Try to avoid that. but we find it's the reason we do this, I just want to share a couple of things. As I thought about this and prepared for it, I was thinking about the Paul's letter. Many of the letters in the New Testament are really exchanges of news. How are you doing? You know, it's not just, those letters are not just theology. They're also the relationship and how's the church and we're doing fine where we are or we're struggling or what have you. And here in 1 Thessalonians 3, it says, Paul's writing, he says, "For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you." So they were exchanging how they're doing. And in 3 John 5, it says, "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth." And so these men and women were exchanging news about how they were doing and taking a look at how the church was at different times. And so we like to do this once a year, kind of give a little status of various ministries, things that are going on, a little bit about our plans for the future, what our hopes are for coming forward in 2022. So with that, Justin's gonna kick it off.
Yeah, I do like these because it's an opportunity, the State of the Church is an opportunity for us to have Thanksgiving for the things that God has done in the church here throughout the last year, and to reflect a little bit on, you know, maybe our struggles we've had or things that we've really wrestled with. And so I'm going to be talking a little bit about some of the things looking back related to our ministries. And you guys have all been around for the last year, most of you have, and you've been living in a pandemic world. And this is our second, or last year was our second, basically full year of that. And so that brought some challenges throughout the year. And what we've learned is that all of us have various levels of comfort on risk-taking. We have various levels of comfort on how we handle COVID. We all have different convictions and whatnot. And so we've had to adjust as a church, and we've had to adjust as individuals, as families. Like, I know my family does life much differently right now than it did 3 years ago. Hi, Lily. So we've had to make those adjustments. And one of the things that I've noticed for myself and I've noticed for some families, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, but I've noticed it's a lot easier to do stuff from the couch. I mean, I can kind of do everything from the couch. I can shop from the couch. I can live stream a service from the couch. I can get entertainment from my couch. I can get instruction on YouTube for how to do just about anything under the sun. If my carburetor went out on an old car, I could watch a guy rebuild it. I can do just about everything from the couch, but I'm challenged by Proverbs 18:1, as it says here, whoever isolates himself, which is in fact one of the symptoms perhaps of sitting on my couch, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. And so I think myself personally, I think all of us have probably wrestled with that a little bit. It's just easy to stay on our couches. And so that's probably, I think, one of the biggest challenges that I've had, and I think perhaps many of us have kind of wrestled with a little bit. And that leads to some other challenges, I suppose. This year, one of the challenges we've had in the ministries, in our ministries here, is volunteers and staffing. We don't have all of the ministries that we used to. We don't staff as well most of the ministries that we have done in the past, and some of them we have chosen to no longer do. But throughout all of that, I think one of the most encouraging things that I've seen is as we walk through COVID, as we walk through a pandemic, as we walk through this very tumultuous world, we've done, I think, as a church, a very good job respecting each other's differences. And we've talked a lot about Romans 14 and how we as a people need to respect each other's convictions and how we have to love each other regardless of our differences. I think as a church, we've done an incredibly good job not yelling at each other. You know, we've had tense conversations, but we've done a good job respecting those differences and those convictions. So that leads me more specifically into some of the ministries we have here at Cedar Creek. And we do have the children's ministries. And there's a verse up here in 2 Timothy 3:14-15. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and I highlighted this here, how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, with the scriptures, with the instruction of the Bible, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Jesus Christ. That verse, I think, really plays into the heart of what children's ministries are. Our goal is to give children that acquaintance with Scripture, the understanding and knowledge of the instruction God gives us through His Word. And so that, I think, is ultimately our drive in the children's ministry, if I tried to boil it down to that. And we have a number of different ways that we're, as a church, trying to serve the kids here. We have our nursery and Sunday school groups, and they are wonderful. They are absolutely wonderful. My kids get excited to be in Sunday school. They get excited to be around their friends. They are often Saturday night looking at me, oh, tomorrow's church. I get to go to Sunday school. And they get all excited for that. And so there's a lot of people involved in making that happen. And for all of you who are involved, we thank you. And we praise the Lord for your service. And we also have a nursery which tends to our youngest kids, ages 6 months to two years. Am I right there? Three years. 6 months to 3 years. And I know right now it's perhaps not the largest group. However, we've had a lot of babies in the last year, and we've had a lot of babies just in the last 30 days. Multiple sets of twins and small children. But with both of those ministries, we are a little pressed for volunteers and for staff. And so if it is something that the Lord is leading you to do, I would encourage you to step out in faith and find some courage and go help those little kids become acquainted with the scriptures. I know that it can be intimidating, but trust me, those little kids will look at you with starry eyes and be so excited to see you on a Sunday morning. And speaking of, you know, we have children's ministries. Those aren't the only ones. We have middle school youth group here that meets every Sunday at 11:30 to 1. I'm usually here while they're running around and doing all sorts of fun stuff. I've seen some real interesting games. I know there was a sledding event a couple weeks ago. One of the saints here cleared the hill that goes down into our the Otter Creek area, and it is a massive sledding hill, and it's wonderful. And I have yet to take my kids out there, but I know if you guys have kids that want to do that, it'd be a great place to go sledding. But so yes, we have a middle school youth group, and that has been going really well. I've been really blessed to see the kids here on Sunday afternoons after church. We also have Awana, which is another massive children's ministry going on here, and it's expanded to 5 clubs this year. It was, I believe, 4 last year. It's now 3 years old up through high school. It's Cubby, Sparks, Trek, TNT, and Journey. And last year, yeah, there were only four clubs happening. And there are only 4 churches actually in the area who are offering an Awana program. So we have a lot of churches in Eau Claire and in this area. We're one of 4 that's doing it. And one of the massive highlights I want to point out, so back in 2019 through 2020, that school year, there were 39 clubbers. Then the following year, there were 52 clubbers. This year, there are 59 clubbers. So that means throughout the pandemic, throughout all of the chaos, God has continued to bless this ministry with reaching children. And in that passage in 2 Timothy again, to teach kids scripture and instruction in the Lord. And I think that's wonderful. Of those 59 clubbers, 25 of them, there's 25 different families attending. 8 of those families are new this year. 5 of them are from outside Cedar Creek. And even last year, we look back, we had 6 new families, and 4 of them ended up attending, or 4 of them attended Cedar Creek, and 2 of those new families started attending Cedar Creek through that ministry. So I have to say, it's just wonderful to see the electricity, I think it's been described as, in the room here on Wednesday nights when Awana meets. They're doing great work. There's 18 very dedicated volunteers who are leading groups, games. They're doing security, they're running music and sound, they're doing all sorts of different things. We clear the chairs out of the sanctuary and the kids get to run around. And, you know, I mentioned my kids get excited for Sunday morning, Sunday school. They're just as excited on Wednesday morning when they wake up and they're like, oh, I cannot wait to finish my dinner and get to Awana as fast as I possibly can. So for those of you who are involved in that, that is just a wonderful ministry here at the church. And they're always looking for new people, for people to help out, to increase, you know, teacher rotations and things like that. So we have a lot of children's ministries here at Cedar Creek, and they're going well, and we could always use more volunteers, and that has been perhaps the biggest challenge we've had. Shifting gears a little bit on ministries, we have a care and compassion ministry, and we have a team called the Comfort Callers, and they check on people who are isolated or in hospitals and check in to make sure that they're okay. And if you're at the hospital, one thing to note, if you're hospitalized, I've been hospitalized before and not known to do this, but if you're in the hospital, you can indicate Cedar Creek under religion, and we will, as a church, find out. They will contact our administrative staff and let us know that you're there, so we can come visit you and pray for you and see how you're doing. We also have a new opportunity through that care and compassion team. They are now bringing communion to those who are unable to attend on a Sunday morning, if somebody's interested in that. So contact, I think, Sue Gerber or Randy Johnson, and they'll at least point you in the right direction for where you need to go with that. So that is a wonderful ministry that's also happening here, a way that we can touch the saints emotionally and support them spiritually when they're going through difficult things like hospitalizations and illness. We also have a community outreach that has been a little bit more limited with COVID, but there's a number of families who've been faithfully doing the celebration dinners once a month, and we are still encouraging people to get involved with Apple. We're still doing the baby bottles. We are still encouraging folks to attend and be part of Teamwork Africa events. We're still supporting Teamwork Africa. Last summer, we did the Fierce Freedom, the Justice Run. That's about ending trafficking. And it's a wonderful organization that we support, and I'm really grateful that we can get some of us out there to participate in that event. We also have a meals ministry. Now, I have noted here the statistics from last year. We had 25 meals to 4 different families in 2021, and that is a little smaller than normal. But one of the things that stood out to me is there might have been 25 meals already this month for 2022. There's 2 families who've had twins. We had baby Calvin, and there's other families who had babies right at the end of the year, and so there have been meals going out, and so I would wager to bet that 25 meal number from last year has already been beat for this year. So that is a wonderful ministry, and if you want to get involved with that, come talk to Mark or Rob or I, and we'll point you in the right direction.
Or Brianna.
Or Brianna, yeah, actually.
Wave your hand back there. She's the mastermind behind that.
Yes. Yes, she is. And then one last thing to highlight, we still have weekly prayer going on. And this can be prayer on the porch sometimes. It's sometimes prayer in a park. Sometimes it's prayer walking around neighborhood. If you want to get involved with that, I believe that is that your Nancy?
That would be correct.
Yeah. So find him and find his wife.
There she is, Mike.
And that still is happening. Even throughout the pandemic, though I know it's changed a little bit in how it's
on
done.
The porch, in the park,
Yeah, yeah, it's outdoors mostly, if they can make that work, except negative 20. But so that's some highlights looking back to the ministries of 2021. And now Mark was going to talk a little bit about missions and missionary support.
All right. Thanks. I grabbed these stools. I didn't realize I got the rocking stool. So if it collapses completely, I land on the ground. Don't laugh. That's okay. I'll sit still. As far as missions, that's probably one, I think one of the most exciting things changes really this year in 2021 here at Cedar Creek. In the past, there was a regional association of churches that we sent a 10% of our contributions to as kind of a tide to support the region, and a lot of that money then was forwarded to and committed to various missionaries, mission groups, but we never saw that. It was kind of like third hand. You know, we were sending the money, and then it was being decided somewhere, and it was going off to these organizations. And so that whole arrangement changed at the end of 2020, and so that then we had those resources to disperse ourselves. And so what we did is the Board of Trustees, and we'll talk about them a little later, but they authorized that amount of money that was going to missions indirectly to go directly from our local church to missionaries. And so a small group of folks were invited to work on that and evaluate various opportunities for supporting missionaries, and that is Lana Fila, Don Breedle, and Sarah Spencer. Sarah and her family are actually in Mexico currently on a short mission trip, but those folks evaluated a number of missions and missionaries and that we've been able to support through the year. Can we have that list up? And they are, some are local, some are in the state, some are in the United States, and some are international. So we have a whole variety. And so we're able to, as a local church, support these. Hope Gospel Mission is a local organization. So we, and this is through the year monthly support for these organizations. Hope Gospel. The other one is a church plant. A gentleman by the name of Jacob Van Sickle and a team are planting a church in Providence, Rhode Island. And Jacob was here, spoke on a Sunday morning during the year.
We're currently working with him to plan a trip for this fall.
We're going to get to that.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
I'm jumping ahead.
Just settle down. And then More Rejoicing, that's Travis Barton from St. Croix Falls. He's serving migrants from Mexico. And Travis, I believe, was here this year. Yep. And Amy Quickert with Bible Translation. She's also spoken here. In that next slide. And Gary Sandman in Mexico. That's the Spencers are currently working with Gary right now. And then Ember Warren with Great Commission Europe, aiding refugees from North Africa. And then Run Global, Mike and Sue Cater, working in India and Nepal. And so these are all folks that we have direct connection to now and we are supporting. And coming up in, well, here I'm getting ahead of myself, but coming up in March, we're going to be reevaluating this between now and March. The mission group will be reevaluating and determining what kind of support that will be going forward through the next year. And so I think it's really exciting to have these folks come here and have a direct connection rather than just a kind of an anonymous, yeah, it goes somewhere and to somebody, but we know these folks. So, and then there's some local organizations that we support during the year. We support Apple Pregnancy Care Center with an annual gift, and the local prison and jail ministry, and CareLink. CareLink's an important ministry because churches get calls, not infrequently, from individuals in the community that are needing help. And it could be overwhelming, and it takes, it's a bit challenging how to evaluate, you know, the need and decide how to meet that need or address that need. And CareLink, it's a group of area congregations like ourselves, and we contribute monthly to this. And then that's a centralized clearinghouse, so to speak, that we can refer folks to. And then what happens is the folks at CareLink know these folks. For instance, if someone went to five churches and all made an appeal, and CareLink would know that these folks know. So they can coordinate the assistance, and that's something we support regularly and can refer folks to. And we had one, during the year, we also have opportunity to support various missions. Incidentally, a gentleman by the name of Dagoberto from the Dominican Republic, formerly from Honduras, which we've had a long-standing relationship with as a church, he visited here, shared about his ministry, and the church was able to make a contribution to his work as well. So I think that's all for missions. So yeah, that's been exciting, an exciting change. I'm looking forward to the future with further support. So.
Thanks. Yes, and now we're moving into community stuff that's been happening here in the church, and that dips a little into ministries, but we're just going to highlight a few. One of the community building things that happens here at church and here in the community is we have a moms group. And this moms group's been going for years. It's kind of ebbed and flowed. It's changed how it looks and how it's done. But this year, I know the first and third Tuesdays of the month, they meet in this building. And then the second and fourth, they do something different, like go to an apple orchard or go to Chaos Water Park or something like that. But there have been weekly meetings here where there's 50-plus moms and kids running around in the sanctuary, playing during the cold winter months, those negative 20 days. And it's just a wonderful community outreach. It's a wonderful community building event. It's fantastic. And so that's been happening here at Cedar Creek. And if you're interested in that, you can contact Brianna or Abby or Leah about the moms group. Get involved with that, either helping out or just attending and fellowshipping and encouraging each other in the Lord. And another community thing that we have going on here at Cedar Creek is our life groups. We've been doing life groups for as long as I can remember. I was involved in some in the college ministry and then got involved with one here at the church when I graduated college. And currently, we're a little downsized. We have 8 life groups working together right now at different levels of engagement and differing ways of administering that. But we are very committed to continuing to have our life groups meet. And really, life groups are fantastic because they're an opportunity for people to come together and get to know each other more than on Sunday mornings. It's very easy, especially for me, to come in on Sunday morning and have a 3-minute conversation with someone and then move to the next person and have 50 3-minute conversations of surface level things. And life groups give us that opportunity where we get maybe an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, rubbing shoulders with somebody and getting to know them a lot better and a lot deeper. So, I mean, if you want to get involved with one of those, you can, Mark coordinates those. But those are still happening. We've also, speaking of community things, we've had a number of life events here at the church. We had 2 deaths last year. We had Chester Steele, who had been attending Cedar Creek for a very, very long time, and he was a very influential person here at the church. He was a man of the Lord, and he was very, very loved, and so he will definitely be missed by us. And we also had Kathy Butler passed away in the fall of this last year. She'd been coming here for a number of years, and she was running a number of groups on Friday mornings and Saturday mornings, working with folks. And we actually ended up having a celebration of life for her here at the church. But we just wanted to acknowledge them. Those are some life events that we as a church have experienced and worked through and walked through together. We, on the flip side of that, we've also had many births. We have had, I think, oh gosh, half a dozen to a dozen births last year, and maybe that many already this year. So there's just babies everywhere, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And we've also had a couple baptisms last year. So we saw new life physically, we saw new life spiritually, and we saw celebrations of folks' lives who really love the Lord. But with community, one of the things that we've experienced is we've had challenges in how to connect in our current state, you know, with life groups. How do we do that? How do we continue to rub shoulders with each other and see each other a little bit more than that three, four minutes on Sunday mornings? And in Hebrews 10:25, we're actually given we use this verse fairly frequently. It says, "Let us not neglect meeting together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." And so as we walk through this continued state of the world, the continued pandemic, we have to get a little creative on how we can do that, how we can not neglect meeting together. And one of the things, our life group's trying something new. We've gone through like three or four iterations of what life group looks like in the last 2 years. We've done virtual, we've done hybrids, we've done in-person, we've tried just family nights. Now we're attempting something different again. We're going to have a women's study and then a men's study on different nights. We're gonna possibly be joining with a whole nother life group and combining it together to get more men rubbing shoulders together, more women rubbing shoulders together. If you're in a life stage like me, my life group is eight couples, and I believe there's like 23 children, all under eight. So if all of them, if everyone came, it'd be 16 adults and like 23 kids running around my house, and it is wonderful. It is wonderful. But it's hard to focus, it's a whole different animal. So if you're a young family and you have kids, we're trying something new. Dads will stay in with the kids 1 week, and then moms the next. So get creative. That's one of the best things that I think we can do this year in 2022. I'm getting ahead of myself, looking ahead, but. Yeah, let's get creative. And remember, Rob has said this many times, relationships are built on communication over time. If we want to grow in those relationships, we've got to have increasing communication with each other throughout our life here in the church and our life here on earth. But I don't want to get long-winded, so I'm going to skip a bunch of this stuff. It's just all right. Mostly exhortation. So we're going to, is it Rob next?
No, I got one more piece.
Mark's got one next.
Finance. Talk about money. You know, some people claim that every time I go to church, I talk about money. Well, we don't talk about money that often, but we'd like to give you a little update on finances and share a couple of verses. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And then follows up, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And 2 Corinthians, and that's really the message here, is that we are, as a church, blessed by generosity, blessed by consistent giving by you all, by many of you, all of you, and that's not to be taken lightly. You know, we wondered, you know, with the pandemic, thought, well, what's going to happen to, I mean, when we shut down, you know, we weren't meeting for a couple months back in 2020, and people were faithful and gave, and just like it, and we've continued to move along. And so we are blessed because of generosity. And we don't compel, we don't twist arms, not under compulsion, but hopefully we can give cheerfully. It's a habit that Nancy and I have had for as long as we've been married, and giving is it's a blessing, and the church benefits. So thank you for your generosity and your cheerful giving. And the next slide, please. And also, we are stewards of, as a church, we're stewards of the resources that we're entrusted with. When people make a contribution to the church, they are entrusting that to be used faithfully. And if we can be trusted with a little, can also be trusted with much. So we want to be faithful with whatever we have. And so we have a board of trustees that makes the financial decisions here. And I think we've got a list of them. Jim Myers back there in the corner, maybe you could stand up, Jim. Everybody see you. Yeah. Jim's the chair of the trustees, has served faithfully in that regard for many years, and helps keep us moving in the right direction. Bob Parsons, I don't think Bob's here today. Deb Wells over here. Dan Hedrington. Judy Schroeder's the newest member of our board of trustees. And then Rob and I sit on it as well. And so they make the decisions. We as pastors can't spend a bunch of money without the trustees. It's not like we've got a checkbook we can just write, you know. We've got a limit. We can spend $200 without checking with the trustees. And so that's how it's arranged. But these folks are stewards of what the church is entrusted with. And so really appreciate that. State of the budget, we are very solvent. We have money in the bank. Our contributions exceed our expenses. That's always a good thing, right? So in 2021, there was almost $401,000 of total general income and $290,000 in expenses. So that's positive. And we don't have any debt. You know, many of you remember we put an addition on the building a few years ago. That's paid for. We don't have a mortgage. We don't have any money that we've borrowed. So we're in, and so we continue to build savings. And that's really, I think, one of the things that the board is challenged with is being good stewards of that amount of money that's beyond expenses. And even as we look at missions and things like that, we have the ability to put that resource to work. So next slide, please. In benevolence giving, the board is always alert to and has some regular benevolence giving, and also incidentally, as things come up, as people come to our attention that are in financial need. So there's been $10,400 given in 2021. Sometimes folks who make contributions earmark that for benevolence. And then part of the budget is just continually feeding that a benevolence account so that there's money when the needs are identified. So, and different things come out of that account. For instance, I mentioned Dagoberto from Dominican. That came out of a gift to him, came out of that benevolence fund. So there's an ability to meet needs and want to do that. And in your, if you've got a mailbox, if you've got a church mailbox, there is a financial summary in there with some more detail. And please take a look at that. And if you have questions, please ask. If you want if you want more detail, talk to Jim. He's got lots of details. And it's not secret. It's, we don't see who gives what. I mean, I have no idea. And that's not the kind of details I'm talking about. But where the money is dispersed, if you have questions about that, please ask. And we'll get that information to you. Yeah, that's it for finance. Now I think we're going to hear from Rob. They recorded a Zoom. Rob's ill. He's recovering from last week. He spoke at home because he was exposed to COVID. Well, he's home because he's sick with it now. So, but he was only really sick for one day. He said the rest has just been annoying. He's tired. So, anyway, we'll hear from him now.
Morning, everyone. Sorry I can't be with you again this morning, 2 weeks in a row. I'm feeling better all the time. Don't really feel that sick, just feel kind of run down. So, but we thought best to stay away one more week. But I'm going to just jump in. Hopefully I'm following closely along with Mark and Justin, what they've been talking about. We've been talking about looking back at Cedar Creek and, you know, some of the things things we do, things that have gone on. And I'm going to talk about leadership, kind of how that's going here at Cedar Creek. And then I'm going to transition into into looking forward. So leadership, there's a document that we created, I think three years ago or so now. It's called Pastoral Leadership and Authority. And what it is, it just kind of spells out how we've done leadership really for a long, long time. It didn't create anything new. We just kind of got it down on paper, which was helpful for us and for the church. And you can see that document anytime you want. It's on our website. You can access it there. Or if you can't find it there on the website, you can ask Justin or Mark or myself. Again, it's called Pastoral Leadership and Authority. And it lays out how pastors are appointed, accountability for pastors, all of the different roles that a pastor has. So we keep an eye on that document. We adjust it from time to time as we see the need. Just want to mention a couple of things here on that document as they relate to leadership. One of the reasons that we did this was to clarify a couple of things. One is the process or the procedure that we have done now a couple times for reaffirming the pastors. And if you remember, we've done this twice now, I think, two times. And the Board of Deacons gets together and they appoint a few of their own number to take comments from anybody in the congregation who wants to, specifically regarding how the pastors are doing, if people feel the pastors are still qualified to do the job. And then the deacons take all that information, they write up a report, and then they make a recommendation as to whether the pastors should continue, or if there should be more, you know, if there's something specific that should be looked into in any one of the pastors. So we've done that twice. Our documents say that we should do it once a year. We did it once, and then COVID hit, and we didn't do it in 2020. We did it in 2021, last year, but as we've gotten into this, it seems like it's maybe a little too early to do it again. So we're probably going to just do the reaffirmation every 2 years instead of every year, just to put a little space in between it. If you have thoughts about that, you can talk to one of us. But just so you know, our plan right now is not to do a reaffirmation this year, but to do it next year in 2023, and then we'll do it every 2 years after that. Another thing in that document, and another one of the impetuses, I don't know what the plural of that is, to do that document was just to lay out clearly, if somebody has a dispute with the pastor, how does that work? If you remember back in 2018-19, it was a tough time with different things going on in our association and in the church, and it became clear that there were things that people wanted to bring up or would have brought up with the pastors, but maybe didn't know how, or maybe felt like it wouldn't be taken well. And so we took that to heart and really wanted to lay out, here's what, if somebody has a dispute with a pastor, here's how you can do it. And we tried to clarify that and make it as easy as possible. And basically it's this: if you have if there's something with the pastor, there are three different ways you can go about it. First of all, just encourage you to go talk to the pastor, and bring that up with him. But then if you feel it's not resolved or it needs to go farther, there are three options in there. One is you can get a hold of some of the leaders in our region of churches, and their contact information is there in that document. Or you can ask for kind of a little council of a combination of Cedar Creek trustees and Cedar Creek deacons to kind of hear the dispute. Or you can ask for a little group of outside local Eau Claire pastors to hear it. I work closely and regularly with other pastors here in Eau Claire, and they've agreed to consider sitting and listening to disputes. So just want you to know that if you ever feel like there's a dispute that you have with any one of the pastors, boy, we get it. We are not perfect. We are far from it. We make mistakes. We have blind spots, or sometimes we're just unclear. So please feel free to come and talk to us, and know that there's a procedure to go deeper if we need to. So again, that document is available to you if you'd like to take a look at it online, or just ask one of the pastors. Just quickly, the current status of the pastors here at Cedar Creek, there are three of us, myself and Justin and Mark. Justin is full-time, and I have been full-time for a long, long time. I'm going to get to that here in a second. My role is changing just a little bit, but Justin's full-time. Mark is part-time. He's one day a week, and he's been doing that for a couple of years at least. And I am almost full-time. So I guess that's a good transition into as we move forward. One of the things that's true, I'd like to talk just a little bit about my role as a pastor. 2 years ago, I took on a role with our region. Cedar Creek is part of a region of churches. It's made up of churches in the Twin Cities, some in North Dakota, Diamond Cross, Rochester, Minnesota. There are seven churches that are part of our region. And 2 years ago, I took on a role as one of the regional leaders. And what that looks like is I do a little coaching for some of the other pastors in our region. I work with Brent Knox to make some of the leadership decisions for the region. And what that's been over the last 2 years is roughly one day a week. And so the region pays that time. The region pays for one fifth of my salary. Basically, most of what I do for the region can be done over the phone, over the computer, although I do travel. I travel down to Rochester and La Crosse, and I travel to the Twin Cities. So sometimes I'm gone, and that's why I have one day a week that is set aside for doing regional work. In the past year and a half or so, I have also taken on a larger role on the national level. That's less formal. It's really designed to try to keep connections, build connections, and keep connections, and maybe reestablish connections with churches who've been part of the Great Commission world. Here, a year and a half ago or so, I believe, GCC, our national umbrella organization, disbanded. And since then, there's been a lot of uncertainty as to what kind of connections are there, should there be, with churches across the country that used to be part of GCC. I've spent a fair amount of time in the last year and a half working with other men across the country, trying to see what connections there we could have. I think that's a good thing for us for lots of reasons. I think our little church and our little region is much better if we're connected to something bigger than ourselves across the country. There's protection in that. There's encouragement in that. There's strength in that. There's just goodness in that. And I think that our history with those churches and what God has done through the Great Commission world, not perfect, but good, very good, very imperfect, lots of mistakes, but God, that's the way human endeavors are. And God has used things like that over the years. And he certainly used us in the Great Commission world and Cedar Creek. And so to make an effort to preserve that, to whatever degree God would have it preserved, I think is worth the effort. And so I've been spending time doing that. and that's taken me away a little bit more as well. I've traveled a bit more across the country this past year and a half, although that has slowed down considerably now. lastly, regarding my role, Justin came on full-time a year ago, 2 years ago. As a pastor 2 years ago, he's, and that's very, very good. You know, Justin is a young man and I'm not so young. And so making the transition to younger pastors, having more and more and more of a front and center role is just a wise thing, I think. And so we want to do that well and wisely. And we think that one of the ways to do it well and wisely is to do it gradually, so that there's not just an abrupt, all of a sudden, one day, okay, Mark and Rob are gone, and now Justin's here, and that's all. So I have begun to work a little bit less. This year, in 2022, I'm actually working 4.5 days a week instead of 5. That doesn't seem like much, and it's not a lot, and in a lot of ways, it's going to be hard to tell the difference, but the goal there is just for me to slowly begin to back off from some of the upfront stuff so that Justin and younger men can step up and lead the church. Cause that just needs to happen going forward. And we want that transition to be as smooth and helpful and just really take the church in some good places and not be a hindrance to the church. So we're thinking that that's a good idea. If you have questions about that, you can ask me. It's probably not going to change, you know, half a day a week. What it looks like for me won't change a whole lot. But you might have questions about that. I totally understand. You can ask myself or Justin or Mark about that. Okay. I'm going to move on here to a few more leadership things. Just acknowledge that we have deacons here in the church, and what a deacon is, again, you can find our documents online in the same place you find that pastoral document about what deacons are, how we appoint deacons, what the purpose of deacons is. Deacons is an office in the New Testament church. It's men and women who meet certain character qualities, certain character requirements, who have a specific kind of church-wide role in the church. And so we appoint deacons for a couple of reasons, to acknowledge and to honor them, that they're taking on a role and being willing to step up and lead others and take on the responsibility for specific things in the church. And also we then give the deacons some responsibilities regarding the reaffirmation, regarding perhaps disputes with pastors. And so the deacons this year, there's a slide there. It's these folks: Jim Myers, Emily Wickman, Brianna Novacek, Ryan Rudak, Luke Johnson, Greg Follinsby, and Matt Novacek. Those are our deacons for 2022. So if you want to say thank you to them, please do so. If you have, I'm kind of putting them on the spot, but they are one of the first lines for you to go to. If you feel like there's something you want to say and you're a little uncomfortable saying it to a pastor, go find a deacon, talk to them, and they can maybe help too. One more thing about leadership. A few years back, we began what we call the advisory council. And this is a group of people that the pastors meet with periodically. That there aren't set times. It's more when we feel that there's something kind of specific in the church that we would like to have some input on. We ask the advisory board to get together. And so we meet with them. And let me tell you who they are. It's Brad Blomberg, Paul Fila, Cassandra Bryant, Nikki Rudak, Steve Quickert, Renee Wanneke, and Matt Novacek. Those folks meet with the pastors periodically to talk about things like, for example, when I was going to go halftime. I think that's something that we took to them when we talked about a few years back when I went and began to have more of a national role. We went to them and talked to them about that stuff. So those are people that if you think, hey, you know, why do we do this in the church? Or boy, we could really do this and it'd be good if we did that in the church. Go talk to those folks. They'd be good ones to talk to. If you are interested in being on that, it's not a volunteer thing, but if you're interested, please let us know, because, you know, we want to get people on there who have a heart for the church and ideas about what we can do and do well. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to switch gears here. That was looking back. And that was the leadership, kind of how leadership is run here at Cedar Creek. I'm going to shift gears to the looking forward now to the, you know, okay, that's kind of what's going on, how we operate. Now let's look forward to what are things going to be like, or what's 2022 look like and even beyond. I'm not going to talk a lot, really just two things that I want to mention here. First one is this, that if you remember a few years back, we kind of redid our core values. We didn't change them drastically. We more just tweaked them and rewrote them some. And the purpose was to be clear, well, what are the things that are important to us, and are we doing them? You know, it's one thing to say this is our core value, but if you can't really remember what it is, or if you're not doing anything about it, maybe it's not really a core value. So we thought, gosh, well, let's look at those. And so we did. And the advisory council got together and we talked about those core values. Well, we're kind of wanting to do the same thing with our vision statement, our mission statement. Right now, for many years, it's been win, build, send. And, you know, win people to Christ, share the gospel, build them up, discipleship, send. We're going to go out and plant churches and then share the gospel more. It's a good vision statement. But like anything, after a while, it kind of, you say it long enough, you have it long enough, and maybe you start to forget what it means. And so we are, excuse me, we've been pulling that up and looking at it and asking the question, should we rewrite this a little bit? For two reasons. One is just to ask the question, okay, is this really what we want to see happen? Is this the mission of the church? And then two, well, are we doing it? Are the things that we do, does our calendar point toward that? Do the activities that we do help us to accomplish this vision? Does that make sense? So it's not that we think, oh my gosh, we've been doing the wrong thing forever. It's not that at all. It's just, maybe it's time to reevaluate. And I don't think that there's any, you know, oh my gosh, we're going to be a totally different thing. I don't think that at all. But when you relook at some of these documents, when you rethink these statements, it's good because it helps us to understand, all right, is that really what we're shooting for? Let's get excited about it again. Or do we need to tweak that a little bit? And then once you come up with it, yeah, this is what we want to do, then we can look at our calendar and our activities and say, well, are the things that we're doing going to help us accomplish that? And those are just good exercises for us to do. So we'd like to do that here in 2022, begin that process. We actually took this idea to the advisory council here a few months back. They suggested, one of the suggestions they had is that we develop a little task force of people who might want to be part of evaluating and thinking this through. And I think that's a great idea. So I want to invite you to think about that. If that's something that you would be interested in, maybe sitting down with me and another pastor or two and other people in the church who would like to look at our mission vision statement, look at it, analyze it, decide, do we need to tweak this a little bit? And then look at our calendar and say, what can we do to make those things happen? We'd like to do that in 2022. So I'd encourage you to think about that. Pray for it, if nothing else. Just pray, Lord, help us as a church to know just what you're asking us to do and then help us to do it. And if you feel so inclined to be part of the task force that would look at that, contact me or Justin or somebody. I'm sorry about my wife's phone ringing in the background. I don't know if you can hear that. Last thing on my part is one of the things that we've wanted to do for several years is get back on campus. And years ago, we had a strong campus presence. Lots and lots of good things came from that. So a lot of people get saved. A lot of people grow in their relationship with the Lord. It was really good. For different reasons, that faded, campus presence faded, and we really haven't had one for probably 5 years or so. So we've thought all along, how can we get back on campus? And we just haven't felt like we have the manpower, either in numbers or even in people whose gifts and passions are to go on campus and spend a lot of time. It takes a lot of time and effort, and just it's very time intensive to be down there on campus. And we just haven't felt like that's what we have. So here a few months back, I was thinking and praying about it, and Mark and Justin and I talked this through, and we thought, well, what we do have is a lot of solid Christians, and we have some cash resources. So I went to the folks who are overseeing Campus Crusade or Crew in Menominee, at Stout, and at UWEC. And we went, well, first we went to the trustees, and the trustees approved to set aside $10,000 specifically for Crew. And then I went to those guys, those leaders, and said, here's what we'd like to do. This $10,000 is there. We would love it if you would think of ways you can spend that and then just write up a little proposal and ask us. And that way we'll know what you're going to do with the money, and we'll give you the money, and we can rejoice with you guys as you're working on campus in ways that we just can't. And they were both obviously very excited about that. They were very keen, and that, you know, it's a great way. We have that resource, and to use it on campus seems like such a great idea. And so they are thinking about that already. But one of the things that we're hoping and praying for is that it wouldn't end right there just with money, but that we would maybe have the opportunity to link up with those guys in some other ways. And it was fun when I sat down with a guy named Lee, who is in charge of and a guy named Kevin. Kevin's at Stout, Lee's at Eau Claire. I just barely gotten the words out of my mouth, and they're both saying, oh, well, what if you had some people who could come and just meet with the students and mentor them once a week or once a month or something? Or, oh, wouldn't it be great if this could happen? And they were already dreaming about ways that we could connect with them more. I got invited to come speak down at Crew here just this next week. So that's good. Again, our goal is to just use what we have to try to have an influence on campus, but those guys are there and they're doing it already. And so for us to partner with them just seemed like a great way for us to really have an impact there. So that's happening. That $10,000 has been set aside. They're thinking about it and they're already thinking about ways that we can be involved. So that's exciting. That's just really exciting to think, what that might look like this year and in years to come. That's the end of my part. So miss you guys. I will be back, Lord willing, next Sunday, and we'll finish up the series that we started on 2022 best practices. Thanks, guys. See ya.
All right. Well, the clock is ticking. We want to wrap things up. I don't want to keep you here all morning, but that's good. We want to just talk really briefly about things coming up. One, as far as missions, I mentioned earlier that the mission board will be evaluating and making plans for the re-upping or changing up how we're supporting. So that's coming up this year. Also, there's a possibility, because of the connection we have with these missionaries now, is to come alongside and do some practical things. And Lana Fila has contacted them as far as a couple of short-term mission project opportunities. And one, the church plant in Rhode Island, they're just getting started and tentatively planning a team to go out there in August of this year. I believe that's August, right? I think we determined August versus September. And then trip to the Dominican in early 23 to assist Dago and his family in ministry and church there. So sometimes those things take a bit of planning. You can think, oh, February 23, man, that's a long ways away. Before you know it, it'll be next February. So anyway, those are coming up in the future. So Justin has a couple of things on the church calendar.
Yes. So Rob had mentioned this when he was virtually here. He had said that we're trying to match our vision or our mission to our calendar a little bit. And so there's a few things that kind of line up with what we currently do. One of the things that we restarted back in 2020, in February of 2020, right before the pandemic hit, we had kick-started our ministry leaders meetings and trying to get some traction with that. And COVID happened. And so that died there. It would be good, I think, if we could reevaluate what those look like and get those going again to match getting ministry leaders together, match our values, and make sure we're all headed in the same direction. One of our core values is having strong families, and there is a marriage conference being planned in Rochester with one of our sister churches in that region Rob was talking about, and that is going to be April 22nd and 23rd, and so we're getting that on our calendar here, and we'll be getting out information to you guys about that, so it's an overnight marriage retreat for anyone who's married and wants to attend that. And this last year, well, it was actually this year, usually it would be last year, we had our Fusion Conference, which is where all of the regional churches get together and we worship the Lord and we have instruction from the Lord for a couple days. And this year, it happened to be this year in 2022, very early in January due to the calendar with New Year's and Christmas. But this upcoming year, it actually will be in December, like it has almost always been, the December 27th through the 30th. And so I'd say mark your calendars for that. Hopefully we'll get some promotional material out in a couple months and let you guys know what that's all going to look like, what the theme is going to be, and we can start budgeting as families on getting prepped for that. You know, we were going to kick around other stuff, but we're running out of time.
Right.
And so, I'm long-winded.
Yeah. So hopefully this has been encouraging. I'm looking forward to the year, and I'm just trusting that we can continue to move forward as a church, loving each other, honoring one another. I was just reading in Romans 12 this morning. It's a great little chapter about just about that very thing. We all have different gifts. We all have different abilities. And there in Romans 12, it says, hopefully you can use them to serve others. And so I'm looking forward to the year that we can serve from our gifts and encourage each other, love and care for each other at the church, and reach out in our community. So let's pray and thank God for this. Father, thank you so much for your presence, your blessings to us. God, we've been blessed by you. We are the recipients of your grace and your provision. We thank you for that. God, I pray that we would not miss the fact that you are our provider and our sustainer. We thank you for that. And we look forward to the future with you. God, our days are in your hand. And that's true for us as individuals. It's true for us as a church. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And we ask that you would continue to build. Help us this year. I pray that 2022 will be a year of building as we follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.